You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
And welcome to The Rob Carson Show. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Rob Carson with you. I'll be with you for the rest of the week. I'm so excited to be here. I've got some great guests for you. You know I love to take your calls, and if you disagree with me, that's fine, as long as we have an adult conversation. Can't talk over each other, no yelling, you know, that kind of stuff. So please, you know, feel free, but it has to be, you know, serious and polite. Also, tonight, my podcast is live 7:15 Eastern on YouTube and Getter. You can leave questions. You can leave comments. We have a legal guest coming on tonight to talk about the Trump trial and freedom of speech on campuses, that kind of thing. So that should be good, too. And also, Rob's been on the show with me as well. So if you just go to YouTube and you look through, go to the live tab and you look through the podcast, you can see all the past ones. Click around there. You'll find Rob. Also, the audio is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. On all of them, you just look for Mary Walter Radio. No S, because there's only one of me. All right. Coming up later in the show, Wendy Patrick will be joining us. She is a prosecutor, and she's also a legal and political commentator. And we'll talk about some of the developments in Trump's cases. There's a lot going on. Last night, when I was preparing the show, I was like, oh, there's really nothing came out of New York today. Well, it must be boring. Nothing happening in the Trump trial. And this morning, I was like, boom. So we've got quite a bit coming out today. So hopefully we'll have time to discuss that with her during the show. Hopefully we'll get it all in. If you want to join me, 1-800-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. So there's so much to talk about. We're going to get to what's happening on the campuses with the rise of terrorism and anti-Semitism on our campuses and what we should do about that. But I had to share this with you, though, and this is something that kind of flew under the radar. Daily Caller did an analysis. And what they analyzed the White House's, the communication staff, they have to release transcripts anytime the president gives a speech or takes questions. Okay. So imagine how much fun that is with this president, right? And probably the same thing with any president, especially if like Obama pretty much stuck to the teleprompter, but you know, Trump just goes off, right? So he goes off, but Biden, he says words that don't exist. So the communication staff will frequently, and this is with any administration, they will correct and add or change official remarks to bring them into compliance with official White House policy, or in some cases, what the president actually really said. So Daily Caller had some fun weeding through all this, and they only did January 1st to April 24th. Okay, that's it. So get a load of this. Through 118 statements, speeches, and chats with reporters from January 1st to April 24th, the White House has officially updated its transcripts with corrections to what the president said out loud at least 148 times. That's only not even in 4 full months. I mean, on this pace, he's going to be up there over 400 by the time if he keeps this up for the rest of the year. Some of the modifications included corrections to names, dates, and titles of organizations. Remember Lake and Riley, who screwed that up. Others change verbs, modify the meaning of the president's statement entirely. Words that the president didn't say but should have, according to the White House staff, have also been added to the transcripts. Now, according to Daily Caller, these are noted. You can see the change in them, but sometimes they don't always do it. So here's just some of them. The president says, it was then through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I might add, we made the largest investment in public safety ever. Well, they changed every American voted against to Republicans voted against. That's what he was supposed to say. I've always believed we've got it all wrong. America is rising. What he meant to say is, I've always believed they've got it all wrong. To be honest, the threat to democracy must be defeated. Oh, no, excuse me. The threat to democracy must be defended is what he said. But they changed defended to defeated. So what they do is they put it in a little brackets to, and they cross out the word that the president said wrong and put that in there. So this had to be a fun little exercise. And, you know, last week when the president, you know, every time he reads the stage directions, and I'm sure you saw the video, heard the video of when he read the word pause, and he's just standing there and he's staring with his mouth partway open, squinting, pause. And then they start to chant 4 more years because that's what was supposed to happen. And he had said 4 more years, pause. So someone was supposed to start chanting 4 more years and he was supposed to pause during that. And so he read the whole thing, including the stage directions. And he just stood there with his mouth, like I said, partway open. And he has that 10-mile stare, that blank stare, looking at the teleprompter. And then when everybody started chanting 4 more years, it took him a couple seconds. Then he got it. And then he started to smile and looked at the crowd. And I just a little note about that. I don't joke about the president having dementia because I don't think it's funny. I don't think it's a funny thing because if you've ever had a family member who's had dementia, you know the signs, you know the symptoms, and that look is a look. I saw it in my grandfather. I saw that look when he didn't know what was going on. His mouth was partially open. He was just like totally gone, just gone, like had no clue what was going on. And then all of a sudden he would come back. So I see it in the president. And again, I don't say that to be funny or to mock him in any way. It's just an observation from someone who watched their grandfather's slow mental decline. And I see it in Joe Biden. And that look is it. In other instances, Biden relayed false information or data, which they had to correct. He says he talks about vaccinating the bulk of Americans. There were less than 2 million people being vaccinated when I came into office. Today, 720 million Americans have gotten COVID vaccine. It was 270. Let's see. That was not, oh, here's one. Since I've been in office, we've created 14 million new jobs. 440,000 new jobs in North Carolina alone since I came to office. And then people applauded. And it wasn't supposed to be 440,000 new jobs in North Carolina alone. He said 14 million initially, and they corrected that to 440,000. So it went from 14 million to what he said to 440,000. And how the people just stood there and applauded and didn't look at each other and go, he created 14 million jobs in North Carolina alone. I don't think there's 14 million people in North Carolina. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. He also forgot words during some of his remarks, so the White House had to edit the transcripts to make his comments accurate. I kept my promise to appoint the first Black Supreme Court justice. We know that was wrong, so they had to add woman in there. He likes to drop the T from LGBTQ plus IAA plus whatever it is, and he drops the T. They have to put that in there a lot. They also then compared the number of changes in Biden's transcripts to a sampling of public remarks from President Trump. The Biden White House corrected the president's State of the Union transcript 13 times. The Trump White House didn't modify the former president's State of the Union address transcript at all. Now, I'm going to be fair. Maybe they chose not to. I don't know. I kind of thought that's part of the job and it was standard operating procedure. So if they had done something wrong and didn't correct it when they should have, you know, the left would have been screaming. The left would have been out of their minds. So I never read anything about that. So my hunch is that they didn't need to correct it. At the National Prayer Breakfast, at the White House corrected the transcript 8 times. The Trump White House adjusted the transcript once when the former president missed a one word in a quote. So they did correct the president. He said it was the dark day that Jesus was crucified. It was dark night when they burned our church. So he had, they had to put at in there. It was dark at night when they burned our church. He forgot the word at. Biden's 2024 Earth Day remarks were modified 8 times by the White House. In the final transcript, Trump's was not corrected at all. In total, Biden screwed up the names or titles of individuals, places, and groups 20 times from January 1st to April 24th. He misrepresented the numbers of his accomplishments and often confused the difference between thousands, millions, billions, and trillions. He did that 12 times. He confuses pronouns and uses we instead of he when talking about Donald Trump. That was corrected 13 times by the White House. He also had 20 mix-ups when referencing health care. He confused seniors with disabilities as seniors with diabetes, and he's called Roe v. Wade Roe v. Ward. The analysis did not include the times that the White House altered transcripts without indicating that there was a change. So those are the only ones they indicated were changed. So I thought all of that was incredibly interesting. And I learned something because I never knew that they go back and create and correct the transcript. I did not know that. I don't know. I just kind of wish they would. I guess they have to. I'd say I just wish they would just release the audio, but then we'd have to know what they really meant to say, right? So there's that. Okay, coming up, Nancy Pelosi was on MSNBC with Katie Tour, and she tipped her hand a little bit about what they plan to do in the future. I don't know if she meant to do that. We've got that coming up next on The Rob Carson Show. And welcome back to The Rob Carson Show. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Rob Carson. I get to be with you all week. If you want to jump in, it's 1-800-922-6680. Okay, so I said a little bit of Nancy Pelosi, kind of tipping her hand, which is not unlike Nancy Pelosi, unless she is so confident. And this is, I've been saying this all along. The Democrats are super, super confident right now. All the polls are saying that Trump's going to win. And I don't buy those polls. And I don't like that they're putting those polls out, because I think that makes people, you know, who maybe wouldn't go out and vote, very confident. And they're like, oh, it's raining, I'm not going to vote today. That's bad. That's really bad. You got to get out. You got to vote. And so they just seem to be really calm. In Alabama, no, excuse me, Ohio and Missouri, Mississippi, one of the two states, but there's two states where, and one of them is definitely Ohio, where the Democrat convention, where they nominate their, you know, make their nomination, is 2 weeks after at least Ohio's deadline to get on the ballot. So they either put Joe Biden on or they don't put anybody on. So they have, they're going to miss the deadline at this point in the game. So, and it's Louisiana. They have Republicans who run those two states. And so the Republicans can give them a free pass and go, okay, well, we'll let you do it, which Republicans would do. Or they could be like Nancy Pelosi and say, no, sorry, you missed the deadline. But Democrats don't seem to care. They're either so sure that Republicans are going to give them a free pass, or there's something else going on that they're not concerned about it. Because Republicans would be scrambling to try to do this. The Republicans would have to move the national convention. Democrats aren't doing anything. They're like, yeah, whatever. And Nancy Pelosi saying this out loud to me is just shows that she's very comfortable. And listen, I don't like Nancy Pelosi with what she does, but as a leader and a politician, she's phenomenal. She really does. I wish Republicans would be more like Nancy Pelosi. I want to send out bracelets that say WWND. What would Nancy do to every Republican? Because they don't play the game as hard as she does. And she plays to win, and they could learn a lot from her. So she was on MSNBC, Katie Tour reports, and she said, they're talking about abortion. And she said, people have to view abortion as a democracy issue. This is about freedom to make your own decisions for a woman. It's a personal decision. It's an economic decision at the kitchen table of America's families, if and when they could expand their families or even start their families. So Katie Tour asked her and said, Do you think it's going to be a more powerful issue at the ballot box this time around? And Nancy Pelosi said, well, it is, because the fact is that no matter what he says, he being Trump, there will be a national abortion ban, and that would be horrible for our country. We have to win it all. We have to win the White House with our great president of the United States, Joe Biden, who has a vision for America that is in keeping with the vision of our founders, the sacrifice of our men and women in uniform, the aspirations of our children and their families. Yeah, to be able to kill their children. So she's gone on this tear. You know, Joe Biden's going to be our next president and everything. And this also tips their hand that they're going to be running on abortion. This is what's going to be the issue, because they can't run on the economy. They can't run on immigration. They can't run on any of Joe Biden's accomplishments. So they have to run on scaring the electorate, the feely part of the electorate that just goes on their feelings, not facts, and scare them, because you'll never be able to kill your baby if Donald Trump becomes president. They'll make a national law. And Donald Trump has said, it's not what I'm going to do. I want every state to decide what's right for them. And the Supreme Court kicked it back to the states. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that she thought that Roe v. Wade was a bad law, and she thought that it should have been kicked back to Texas where it started. It should have been kicked back to the state. Even RBG said Roe v. Wade was a bad law. Not the contents of it, the way it came about. So Katie Tour pushes her, and I want you to listen to the exchange here. It starts with Katie Tour asking her about what would happen if President Biden gets reelected. Here's Katie Tour.
If President Biden gets reelected, yes, and there's a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate, what can President Biden and the Democrats do to protect abortion nationwide?
Very clearly, we can enshrine into the law Roe v. Wade. And that makes a big difference.
That would take 2/3 in the Senate. You think the Democrats can get 2/3 in the Senate?
No, it doesn't get 2/3. No, it doesn't. I mean, 60 votes is the Senate now, but if we win 50 plus one in the Senate, 50 plus the vice president, we can overturn the 60 vote rule.
The filibuster.
The filibuster, and pass it with a 51 vote margin. And that's what we need to do.
So what she's saying is that after the election, they're so confident they're going to own all three branches of government. And I would not be shocked if that happens. I'm telling you. They're trying to lull Trump supporters into a false sense of security that Trump's going to win. If they get all three levers of government, plus all of the weaponized DOJ, FBI, etc. that they have, it's going to be one-party rule for the rest of our, at least my lifetime. Because they're going to get rid of the filibuster, so they always control. They always have control. And then they put everything in. They're going to make the Supreme Court. They're going to stuff the Supreme Court for a liberal majority. They'll expand it to a liberal majority. And that's it. That's pretty much the Supreme Court's the only thing standing between total Democrat rule and where we are right now. But she's so confident. She didn't have a problem saying that out loud. I don't know. I kind of found that... I find that scary. I really do. Okay, coming up, I want to get into talking about the election and where we're heading, since Nancy kind of kicked it off for us there. And we're going to talk about debates, whether you think Joe Biden will debate, if at all. And here, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to let him debate. I kind of think they can't. But they must, and not to be a conspiracy theorist, but I think that they either give him an extra long nap, or they have him nap for a couple days beforehand, or they give him a bit of an upper or something. But he can come alive, right? With some medication or maybe a lot of ice cream, whatever it is. So could he get through a debate? He probably could. I don't know if it would be of any substance with Trump. You know, he's going to try to get Trump, you know, off his game and get Trump to start, you know, screaming and yelling. Also, talking about polls, I just mentioned polls and how these polls that are coming out, I don't buy them. I just don't buy them. I really don't. And there's a lot of time between now and November. And I think there are a lot of Trump supporters who are just like, oh, Trump's going to win. And there's people who wouldn't go to the poll anyway. They're not motivated enough to go to the polls unless they feel like they really have to. So CNN has a new poll, and we've got Jim Acosta's reaction to that. Also, a very interesting study coming out from NBC about how the media that you consume, where you get your news from, influences who you vote for. Now, if you think about that on the surface, that's kind of not news, right? Right? But I found it very interesting. And also, in a CBS poll, about the economy and what people are saying about the economy in the swing states. And the swing states are right now really important. And so I'm going to get your input on all of that. You're allowed to, you know, join me. Love it. 1-800-922-6680. If you'd like to join me on the other side of the news here, we'll talk about it. And, you know, where do you think this goes? Especially, we're gearing up for another summer of love. It's the protest season. It's our every 4 year, like cicadas, every 4 years, you know, the Democrats' black shirts come out and we have chaos, right? And the election pandemic every 4 years. Look at this. Look what's coming up now. Bird flu, the next pandemic. I don't know. Seems a little too planned for my taste. How about you? We'll talk about all of this and more coming up on the other side on The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. Or if you're an accredited investor, you could earn even higher yields, double digits, in their gold bond offerings. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over spot, or you can use gold you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. Opt out of the dollar, central bankers, fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. Visit monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information. Again, monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information or to get started opening your account.
And welcome back to the Rob Carson Show on Newsmax Radio. How is everybody? I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Rob Carson. It's great to be here with you. I'll be with you all week. You can join me 1-800-922-6680. I'm going to get into the election in just a second here, but I want to go first to Steve in Santa Cruz because I made some comments about, you know, knowing someone who has dementia and the signs. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show.
Hi, Mary. Welcome back. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Thank you.
Sure. Well, I just wanted to say, do you remember when, a couple of things regarding that. Do you remember when Nancy Reagan used to do the public service announcements back in the day? I don't know if you're old enough to remember that.
Didn't she do the Say No to Drugs? Wasn't that her?
Yeah, and after a while, you know, she started to kind of nod off and drift and stuff, and they later found that she developed some addiction to prescription drugs. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that part of it.
I don't know if I'm confusing it with Nancy Reagan or Bush's wife, but one of the two. And I remember recognizing the symptoms. It was so obvious to me when I saw the public speaking, the talks on TV, the commercials. It was identical to the prescription addiction that my elderly mother had developed, and with the dementia.
Interesting. So I looked it up. Patty Davis, her daughter, accused her of popping pills. Accused her mother of popping pills, and that didn't happen. And I lost your connection.
Okay.
All right. Welcome back to the Rob Carson Show. I'm Mary Walter in for Rob Carson. Well, Steve, our last caller, I hope you're happy you broke it. Yeah, there was a gremlin in the system. It happens sometimes. We weren't feeding the squirrels fast enough to run on the wheel. Sorry about that. But just to wrap up what he was saying, I found where Nancy Reagan's daughter had said that accused her mother of using prescription drugs, but they had a very, very contentious relationship. And we all know that. So let's talk about the election coming up. And I'm going to go to cut two here, Michelle, just so you know. So Ron Klain is the former Biden White House chief of staff. And he was on MSNBC on Inside with Jen Psaki, which the thing looks like it says Inside Jen Psaki. If you look at her logo, it's a bad logo. Anyway, he was on with Jen Psaki. And they were talking about debates and what rules there would be, because they were talking about, you know, Joe Biden saying on the Howard Stern show that he definitely would debate. I'll debate. I don't, you know, I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him, which I don't think anybody thinks he's going to debate. And you can disagree with me. 1-800-922-6680. I don't think Joe Biden's debating. So here's the exchange. Here's what Ron Klain had to say about Joe Biden debating. But he said rules would have to be enforced. Here's the exchange.
Perhaps you have prepped more presidential candidates for debates than anyone. Someone can fact check me on that. But there's this whole question of will they debate? Won't they debate? We'll see what happens. They both said they would. But you've also said that there need to be kind of fair rules. What do those look like? And what should people understand about that?
I think they will debate. President Biden said this week on the Howard Stern show that he's willing to debate him. And Trump is running around claiming he'd debate him anytime, anywhere.
Including today, I think is what he said.
I don't think that's true. But I think there will be debates. I think what we have to see is something different than we saw in 2016 and 2020, where the debate commission lost control of the debates. Trump didn't follow the rules at all. He talked over his opponents. There wasn't a fair division of time. It was more of a spectacle than a debate. Now, it's always going to be true to some extent when Donald Trump's on the stage. But we need to have debates where the candidates get equal time, where there's an orderly way of proceeding, where they can be heard, where it's not a shouting match, where American people can compare the two people who are the leading candidates for president.
So I have to tell you, I kind of agree with Ron Klain. Donald Trump, it's a sideshow. I get it. But I think he kind of learned his lesson. Remember in the first debate of 2020? Remember the first 2020 debate? And he kind of came out and he was like, Oliver is really super aggressive with Joe Biden. And it kind of backfired on him. It backfired on him to a certain degree. And the Donald Trump we've seen publicly now is kind of like the new improved Donald Trump. He's a little bit more subdued. Don't get me wrong. I love the knockdown, dragout Donald Trump at times, like time and place kind of thing. He seems a little bit more subdued. And I think that would serve him well in the debates because he doesn't have to do much to get Biden to screw up, right? The bar's kind of low. He doesn't have to go in there with guns blazing. He can just answer the questions and make the points. And when Joe Biden says something, Donald Trump can say, well, you know what he just said? That's wrong. And then just go. And the American people, for the most part, agree with Donald Trump's policies of the border, law and order, the economy. So it's kind of a win for him. Let's go to Pacific Grove and Randall. Randall, you are on the Rob Carson Show. Try not to break it, though, okay?
Okay, Mary. I have become a regular caller. Now, I have a couple things to say about Joe Biden. By the way, Pacific Grove, where I live, that's where Leon Panetta lives. It's also where he has his lectures. I just thought I'd throw that in there so you can understand how thoroughly Democrat Monterey County is.
Yeah.
But my couple of things to – I have one more comment after Biden, too. I have two things to say about Joe Biden. Number one, he reminds me from the first time I ever seen him, the first time they ever had him on TV and my girlfriend and I were watching, I said, that guy looks like Dick Jones from the RoboCop movie.
Don't know OCP. It. I mean, I know the RoboCop movie, but I couldn't tell you who that guy is.
Right. He reminds me of Dick Jones, and then he also reminds me of Palpatine, Chancellor Palpatine in Revenge of the Sith. Those two people remind me of them. Okay, so...
Yeah, I got nothing there, too. Quickly, we're going to run out of time.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I remember the first thing he did here is he shut down the whole downtown Carmel because he wanted to have some private secret meeting with a bunch of Democrat moguls. Can I just mention one quick thing about the protests?
I knew you wanted to do that. Okay, very quickly, I got 1 minute.
All right. We never came together after 9/11, and this proves it. And these people are not from this country. These protests are refugees from the Muslim world. They're the daughters mainly of people who were given special treatment to come here with no checks. And we let the Muslim radicals come here and take over, and that's what's going on. I just don't think we ever came together after 9/11. That's sad, but I believe that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Randall, we got to run. Thank you so much for joining me, though. Appreciate you listening to The Rob Carson Show. Okay, so going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I'm going to talk to you about Jim Acosta and a CNN poll. It's a CNN poll on CNN. And Jim Acosta's new Trump fan. Remember how he used to yell at Donald Trump all the time? Remember he used to yell at Donald Trump? And by the way, he's very short. That's another thing. I never knew how short Jim Acosta was until I saw him storm by me after he got in a fight with Sebastian Gorka, which was hilarious. But he stormed by me. It's going to be interesting. I'll let you what his reaction to this poll is that shows Donald Trump ahead, and he can't believe it. And a lot more. We've got so much to get in here. I've got a lot to get to, and we will get to the protests, I promise. We have a guest coming up next hour also to talk about Donald Trump and what's going on in the courtroom. A lot on the plate. Always a busy day here on The Rob Carson Show. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Rob Carson. 1-800-922-6680. Talking about the election, if you want to jump in. Let's go to cut three here. We're going to call for that, Michelle. This is a CNN poll. And Jim Acosta was talking about this yesterday. And in this poll, they found that 55% of Americans believe that Trump's presidency was a success. But that same percentage, 55% of voters in January of 2021 said it was a failure. So my, how history changes with time, right? You can't, they always say you can't judge history until you're 20 years out from whatever the event was that happened. And look, it didn't take 20 years for people to go, huh, maybe that economy that I thought was so bad, maybe that president that I thought was so bad, maybe it wasn't so bad. He said it was extraordinary that some voters looked back fondly at Trump's presidency. And he was on with CNN political commentator Alice Stewart and Democratic strategist Maria Cardona. And it's interesting that they found that based on the poll, if the election were held today, Trump would go from the courthouse to the White House. No questions asked. So here's Jim Acosta and two Democrats trying to get their heads wrapped around how this could possibly be.
The other thing that's in that poll is it shows that a lot of Americans view Donald Trump's presidency as
a success. And Biden's as a failure.
Which is extraordinary given the fact that a million people died from COVID.
Yeah.
I mean,
but look, if the poll, based on this poll, if the election were held today, Donald Trump would go from the courthouse to the White House. No questions asked.
But guess what, Alice? It's not today.
But you look at this.
But what's remarkable, his presidency ended with an insurrection at the Capitol. Yeah. How is it that Democrats have not been able to get that message across to voters and that they can't break through this short-term memory?
I will look at the other polls that actually show Democrats have been able to break through. And let's remember, Jim, in 2022, everyone thought that a huge red wave was going to happen. Everyone was showing these exact same kinds of polls where the economy was the number one issue, when in fact, a lot of Americans put democracy and rights
and
freedoms
up
front. In addition to the economy.
I think the other crosstabs to look at in this poll are the fact that Biden is underwater and has strong disapproval ratings and how he's handled the economy. And the situation with Gaza and Israel is going to really damage him.
It's a challenge right now. It's not a threat.
When I talked to a lot of Democratic operatives over the weekend, in office, out of office, they were all worried about that. We'll keep talking about it. All right.
Yeah, we're going to keep talking about this. We'll just keep talking about this. Now, I do agree that it's too soon for these polls. So much can change between now and November, right? So much can change in there. So it is a little bit early for this. You know, we're going to have a summer of love. Another, you know, it's the Democrat election season is the Democrat riot season now. They released the black shirts, right? And Hitler had his brown shirts. They've got their black shirts. And also when he said, well, there were a million deaths, COVID deaths under Trump. No, more people died under Biden than under Trump. And I got to tell you, I do kind of give Trump a free pass in this sense, a little bit of a pass on that, because it was so new. Nobody knew what was going on. And it was Democrat governors who put COVID patients in nursing homes. And that's why so many people died in those nursing homes. Let's quickly go to Tom's from Owings Mills. Tom, you're on the Rob Carson Show. I got like 2 minutes. Hi.
Yeah, you remember that Jim Acosta was the one who stood directly in front of the highest point of Trump's border wall and looked around and said, what's all this talk about people crossing the border? I don't see anybody crossing the border.
Jim Acosta, he was just so rude and so terrible as a person, right? From what I saw in public, he threw temper tantrums in front of Trump. He grabbed microphones out of the intern's hand in the press briefing. No one does that to anybody now. Well, Biden doesn't have, you know, press briefings. Biden doesn't take questions from the press. And when he does, they all sit there obediently and they submit their questions ahead of time. So he has the answer on the card in front of him. So he knows exactly how it's going to go. But the way they treated Sarah Huckabee Sanders, remember that? It was terrible. And they don't treat KJP that way either.
They called the male tennis player, they called the bad boy the tennis court.
Oh, John McEnroe.
Yeah. Jim Acosta is the John McEnroe of the press corps.
It's hilarious. Tom, thank you so much. We got to run. I will say I was in the press briefing room once with some other talk show hosts to for a meeting, and Jim Acosta pushed Seb Gorka out of the way, and all of a sudden Jim Acosta just comes marginally, practically running, walking really fast right in front of me, and he's short. I was so surprised. I'm like, whoa, he's short. And you just hear Seb boom across the press briefing, Abelio, because his real name's Abelio. You, sir, are a word I can't say on the radio. It was hilarious. It was the funniest thing. And Jim Acosta just looked like this little guy just having a temper tantrum running across that. I thought, I can't believe you picked a fight with Seb Gorka because he's twice your size. All right. We're not done yet. We got a lot more coming up on the Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. You know, everybody knows the next medical crisis just around the corner, whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID, even a bioweapon like a plague, the Wellness Company medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics on hand to make sure you and your family are safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to www.twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson today and order. That's twc.health/Carson and use the promo code Carson to save 10%.
Ooh, welcome back to the Rob Carson Show. I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Rob Carson. Coming up next hour, we're going to be joined by Wendy Patrick. She is a prosecutor and she is a Newsmax columnist and a legal and political commentator. We're going to find out what's going on in the Trump trial because the judge we know has sanctioned Trump. And there's some other news as well coming out of that. So we've got a lot to get to here. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.